Are you looking for new books to read? Do you like finding a new special author? Are you tired of the same old books from the same old authors? Well then, welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where you can hear from fantastic new authors. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have worked hard to write great new books. Hear about their book and why you should check it out. So sit back and listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
So, welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, episode 71. This is a great episode because I forgot to start recording at the beginning. So we had to repeat some of it. I apologize. She was a great sport about it and we got through it and pretty much said the same things. But luckily I haven't done that too much. As I'm recording this right now, I just got back from a weekend in New Orleans with a bunch of other great writers from Jay Thorne's Author Success Mastermind group. We had a good time learning some vampire stuff. We got to talk to Dacre Stoker, who is the great-grandnephew of Bram Stoker, and he told us a lot of things about his research into his great-granduncle's book. We got to explore the French Quarter, delve into a vampire speakeasy that we got to go to secretly. It was a good time, a lot of good people. So look for a book next year of vampire anthology that I will have a story in, and so will several other great authors. And as usual, Jay and Zach put the book up for a charity. And that's super great because you get some authors that get published. You get a book of stories on vampires. So if you like that, you've got something new to read. Plus, a charity is getting benefited. So I encourage everybody to go grab that book when it's available. So before I ramble on too long, let's go hear J.E. McDonald. Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, our second take. So just let everybody know, yep, we started talking and totally forgot to hit record. Luckily with me, I have someone that's taking it all in stride. I've got J.E. McDonald with me. Good morning. How are you again?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, getting less great, right? You know, if this thing ever ends.
No, you know what? It's all good. I'm fine.
Yeah, okay. So now that I know where you're from and a little bit about you, but nobody else does because they didn't hear you, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and things you like to do.
I am from Canada, a little city called Saskatoon in a province called Saskatchewan. Yeah, as we said before, it's right smack dab in Canada, right in the middle, the rectangular shaped one, if you look at a map of Canada. Very flat, very farmland and no mountains, but I love it. It's great. Cold in the winter, very hot in the summer. And yeah, I'm a mother of three daughters who keep me very busy. I'm a writer who's obsessed with writing. I write all the time. I love all things writing related.
Got it. That was basically it in a nutshell. We summed it up. I mentioned Ohio. It's got hills. You've got mostly flat. So just catching everybody up on the wonderful conversation that nobody will ever hear again. Why did you want to start writing?
I have always loved writing, right from elementary school onward. I was always drawn to it. I loved creative writing as a subject. I'd rather take an essay test than do the multiple choice. Yeah, I just always have loved it, right through all of my schooling. And then hitting university, I dropped off with that. I was doing a fine arts degree. So my focus changed a little bit into more tactile sorts of creativity. And it wasn't until my mid to late 20s, that I really got back into it and embraced it again, just really finding my love for it.
So you've always enjoyed writing. And we said earlier, jokingly, you like the essay questions. So I assumed you went over and had to cut that out. That's actually good practice for a writer.
Yeah, no, definitely. If they said you had 500 words, I was going over that. And yeah, but even in tests themselves, if I didn't know an answer, I'd try to argue my point before I knew, even if I had gotten it wrong before, which never got me bonus points, but maybe a happy face in the margins there. They right. laughed at my explanations. But yeah, no, it's always been a thing.
You said you have several daughters. Even though you had kind of gotten away from writing, did you still make up stories and tell them stories? Because I know a lot of writers do that.
Yeah, I did. I do make up stories more on the fly of just like what playing. I wasn't one of those people just to lay down in bed and make a story. We were always reading books for sure. We still do read books every night. But when it comes to like the storytelling process, it was more an active thing. Like if you're playing dolls and that sort of thing, where you make up the story. And you know, my kids are so creative that way too. Like I love listening to the things they come up with. Three girls and dolls, and you know, like my house is a mess. I'm just looking around it right now. But yeah, it's so entertaining the things they come up with. I've actually been inspired by them and their stories that they come up with. Yeah, they're a source. They're a source of delight, always. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I had a son and daughter, and I remember playing at Star Wars with all the princesses. I mean, Princess Leia, Amidala, you know, three Princess Leias, different figures, and they were all riding My Little Ponies. And so we kind of mixed, that is our early mashups that we did.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely mashups. Nowadays, it's LOL dolls and Shopee dolls and crybabies. The toys are so different these days.
Yeah. You got away from writing. What made you finally want to get back into writing and start writing the books you've written?
Yeah, actually, it was a friend of mine who had heard of this crazy thing called NaNoWriMo. I don't know if you've heard of it. Probably everybody's heard of it by now. And she, you know, she wanted to do it. She wanted some friends to do it with her. So there's three of us who decided, yeah, let's do it. And getting into that writing every day thing, it was like, you know, settling into a warm bath. It was so amazing, the feeling, and then getting a project done that first time. I was just like, I want to do this. I want to keep writing. I don't want to just be this month-long challenge. I just want to keep writing. I want to keep writing the story, because it wasn't quite done by the 50,000 words, but it lit a fire under me. There have been chunks where I have stopped writing since then, but honestly, it's been very steady since that first NaNoWriMo to now.
Okay. So tell us about your books. You've got a couple out. They're in a series. Tell us about the series and tell us about the latest one.
So it's called The Wickwood Chronicles. It's a paranormal romance series. It's ongoing. There's three books out. The first one is a ghost story. It's with a romance. I don't know why everyone assumes that like the ghost... the ghost is part of the couple that I'm focusing on. It isn't. It's a ghost story about a haunted bed and breakfast, and they're trying to figure out why this house is haunted, because it's a paranormal investigation company that goes through the series called Liller Investigations. So the first is the brother of the owner and a skeptic. They're paired off. She thinks it's all a scam and wants to expose them as scammers. Spoiler alert, it's not a scam. And then the second one focuses on one of their consultants, a witch, who her best friend accidentally opens a portal to another dimension. Because of the noise, cops are called, and her story is about this witch who's trying to figure out what her friend did, and the cop who's wondering what the heck is happening in their neighborhood. And then the last one is about a demon hunter, the one that just released last week, actually. It's about a demon hunter who has a prophecy to stop, has been told this prophecy. It involves a woman, but when he encounters her, he finds out her soul is pure. It's not, she can't be the cause of the end of the destruction of Wickwood, because she's a pure soul. So he has to figure out why she's involved in the prophecy. It's their story.
You said these are tied together loosely, but they're basically standalone individual books.
Yeah, they focus on a love story of a different couple each time, but there's the underlying connections of them through Liller investigations. Yeah, it ties them together, but they can be read as standalones. And I've had people who've read the third book being like, I have to start at the beginning again. So there is some crossover. If you start at book three, you probably will want to read book one and see how I got there. But yeah, they can be read as standalone stories for sure.
Are these available, I assume, digitally on Amazon? Anywhere else? Do you offer them for print? Anything like that?
Yeah, you can get them through print through Amazon as well. It's probably the easiest, but you can order them. Like any bookstore that works with Ingram Sparks can order them for you as well. And they're all across all digital platforms. So your Kobo and Barnes Nook and all those as well. I think they're up on Hoopla as well if you want to read that way. Yeah, they're basically all the big digital formats. I'm actually, the first two books are even on this new app called the Kiss app. They are just released on there. So that's a mobile reading app that you would just get on your phone. And it's like a Coinbase thing, a new thing. It just happened. So I'm not like super familiar about it, but yeah, the first two are up there as well.
Okay. And what was that app called?
Kiss. I think the company has a Kiss and a Scream. So the Kiss is the romance side. The Scream is like the thriller horror side. Yeah, it comes up as Kiss readers and writers. For readers and writers, I think, is what it comes up as on that app. Yeah, I'll have that posted up on my website soon. I just haven't done that yet.
Okay, got it. No problem. So what type of feedback are you getting from readers?
I'm getting like great feedback. I had a retired teacher who had read the second book email me out of the blue saying that she gave me an A+, and that tickled me to no end. She was really positive. She was really happy that I'd done my research on Wiccan culture. She loved that the story's tied together, and she told me to keep writing. It was really lovely. This newest book, I've just been getting a lot of great feedback. Everyone saying their favorite, or that they have to go back to the beginning and read them all over again if they hadn't read the first two. And yeah, it's just been really positive. And I'm always grateful when reviewers reach out and say how much they enjoyed my work. That's like so nice. It's so, right. So yeah. Lovely to hear that for sure.
Good. You said you've got a book coming out next year. Can you give us a little preview of what that one's going to be?
Yeah, actually, I have a couple books lined up. So the fourth book of the Wickwood Chronicles will be in the fall of 2022. It will be a continuation of the story. There's a kind of a teaser epilogue in book three, so it gives you kind of a little bit of idea. But it follows the story of Agent Ander Martinez, who is an FBI special agent who's been assigned to these ongoing paranormal instances that keep coming up. I guess you could think a little bit of X-Files, but he doesn't have the brooding nature quite that Fox Mulder did back in the day. He's investigating the collapse of this building. Out pops and kind of like an Amazonian warrior princess from another realm. Yeah, that's where the story starts, and it'll take us to new and exciting places in the Wickwood Chronicles. The other project that I am working on is actually a totally separate, unrelated to the Wickwood Chronicles. It's a shifter trilogy about animal shifters. And I had mentioned a little bit earlier that it was going to take place, a big chunk of it is going to take place in Canada, in the northern part of my province where the boreal forest is, and which is exciting because I haven't set anything in my province before, to be published anyway. So yeah, it's kind of cool to add my expertise in that area, as well as my husband's expertise, because he's actually from up north. So that was okay. Nice to be able to question him about a lot of different things.
So do you find when you got back into writing, it sounds like you wrote a book and moved on to the next one over some time. Now you've got multiple books out and you're working on multiple things. Do you find it things are ramping up as an author, that you're needing more time to write, you're writing more, you've got more things you're working on? What's that feel like for you?
It's a lot. It can be a lot on any given day, for sure. You know, if I could just live in my writing cave, write all day, I would be blissfully happy. But unfortunately, there's a lot of other things that go along with being an author, marketing yourself and just, you know, putting yourself out there. And I mean, I'm with an indie publisher, small press. So I do a lot of like the marketing stuff on my own, which is very time consuming. Yeah, I wish I could just like burrow under my my blanket fort and just hide. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get time. I have a great support system that helps me with my children when I need to really like meet a deadline. So, which is fantastic. It's a lot.
For your books, the Wicked Chronicles books, would you rather see them as movies or TV show?
I think the only way to see them would be a TV show. I mean, it's not even, I haven't even gotten to the end yet, right, of this series. So I would love for some TV writers to sink their teeth into it and actually get those stories to overlap, like have those like multiple storylines. Because things that happen in the past for one character in book three would be, you know, the present day of a character in book one. They're all set very close together. Over first one's in spring, summer, and then early fall for the third one. So I would love those. I would love to see TV writers just play with those overlapping storylines and maybe tell the stories even more in depth than I was able to in a book. That would be fantastic. And I don't think a movie would be able to handle that sort of dense content.
You mentioned you love to read. So what are some of your favorite books and authors?
There's so many. I love, you know, funny enough, like I do read like a ton of romance. So I love historical romance. I don't write historical. I have no want to write historical, but I love historical romance. So I've read Lisa Claypaz is one of my very favorites. Julie Garwood. She was kind of where I started as a reader because my mom loved her so much. So I started with her. Of course, Nora Roberts, but it's like, of course. and then paranormal. I love Tessa Bailey's paranormal and Kristen Callahan's paranormals. Yeah, there's so many. Like, I love fantasy as well. So it's a wide range of, I mean, Patrick Rothfuss. I love all of it. And
is there a favorite book you like to? Is there a favorite book you like to read with your daughters?
Well, my littlest, she's four. She loves Berenstain Bears. I don't know if that's quite what you were asking.
Her perennial favorite.
She loves the Berenstain Bears and the Pinkalicious. She likes the Pinkalicious too. My middle kid, she likes the Unicorn Diaries. I was like blanking on it. She loves the anything Pokemon as well. She'll do. And then my oldest is into graphic novels. Sorry, Phoebe and the Unicorn ones, or even getting a little spookier. She's 10, so she's starting to get into the spookier, little creepier stuff. But and we've been reading the what's his name? The British author, the Williamson, I want to say. We've been reading those together, like Ratburger and those what's the one with the dentist? Oh, I'm blanking. But yeah, like they're a little bit creepier. The Demon Dentist, I think, is the one I'm thinking of. Demon Dentist.
Nice.
They're a little creepier, but they like those ones read to them.
Okay.
They can get all excited together.
All right. And you said you live in a little small town. Do you have a favorite bookstore anywhere close that you like to go to?
Yeah. Well, it's a small city. It's I guess not like I don't really consider it. I guess it is a town, but it's a city. It's just very small. When I say city to my people from Los Angeles, friends are like, "What? That's like a town, like 300,000 people. That's a town." So yeah, my favorite independent bookstore is McValley Robinson. It's like a little independent for new books, and then for kind of used stuff to go, you know, digging through things, though they keep it quite neat, so you don't dig quite as much as you used to, is the Westgate Books. They have pretty good selection. They keep on top of things. I do love the digging. When I do there's a biannual fundraiser the Saskatoon Symphony puts on, and I love book digging in that. And you can, you know, get a bag of books for like right. $10, $15. You do that twice a year, you're done. I need more bookshelves, really.
Don't we all? I appreciate you talking to us about your book. It's been great listening to it. Before we move on to some author stuff, can you tell everybody out there why they should read your book?
Well, if you like steamy paranormal romance filled with humor and mystery and that story that kind of creeps slowly into your psyche and gets more complicated and layered as it goes on, then my books are for them, because that's exactly what I write. I like to have my characters overcome obstacles, and I always have a happy ending.
Great. All right, great. Well, J.E., thank you for talking to me about your books. It's been really fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been a good time.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe sometime in the near future, it might be you.
Thing up, and that is the very first interview I've done. I forgot to hit record. I don't want to miss any of that. So luckily it hadn't gone the whole hour.
My God.
You're going to talk to Mickey and go, yeah, this guy's a joke. I mean, how the heck does he do anything?
You know what? I won't tell.
Oh, man. So let's back up and try this again. So now we know what to say. It was just practice. Oh, man.
Great. That's good. That's good for the morning, early morning talking. It's just a little warm up.